With the welcoming ceremony done, the plenary session began. Assistant Secretary Rutledge took his seat, greeted the Chinese diplomats across the table, and began. His statement started off with the usual pleasantries. "The United States," he went on, getting to the meat of the issue, "has concerns about several disturbing aspects of our mutual trading relationship. The first is the seeming inability of the People's Republic to recognize international treaties and conventions on trademarks, copyrights, and patents. Similarly, commitments to open the Chinese market to American goods have not been honored. This has resulted in an imbalance in the mercantile exchange approaching $70 billion, and that is something the United States of America is not prepared to accept." Foreign Minister Shen Tang began in his turn. "The People's Republic wishes to state its desire for a continued friendly relationship with America and the American people. We cannot, however, reconcile America's desire for friendly relations with her action to recognize the breakaway province on the island of Taiwan as the independent nation it is not." So it went for the first 90 minutes, when there came time for the first break, and people wandered out the French doors. "What do you think?" a voice asked. Gant turned to see the same little guy who'd bugged him at the reception. His name was Xue Ma, Gant remembered. "It's my first time observing diplomatic negotiations. It's intensely boring." "Well, this is normal." "Really? It's not that way in business. How do you get anything done?" "Every endeavor has its process." "There's our friend," the cop observed as the car pulled out. It was Suvorov Konyev in his Mercedes C-Class. Provalov had gotten the local varsity to handle this case, with even some help now from the Federal Security Service. They followed Suvorov Konyev into central Moscow. Back at his apartment, another team was inside his flat, tapping the phone. Then came the call that the subject had parked his car. "He's getting out," a Federal Security Service major reported. "I'm getting out to follow on foot." The major was young and dressed in expensive clothing, like one of the new crop of Muscovite business entrepreneurs. He was talking into his phone in a highly animated fashion, the very opposite of what someone conducting a surveillance would do. That enabled him to get within 30 meters of the subject. Suvorov Konyev sat on a bench, his right hand already in his overcoat pocket, while his left fiddled with the morning paper. And that is what tipped the FSS major that he was up to no good. A newspaper was the main disguise used by a spy, something to cover the actions of the working hand, just as a stage magician kept one hand ostentatiously busy while the other performed the actual illusion. The major watched his subject stand and walk back to his Mercedes. When the subject was out of sight, Yefremov walked over to the other bench and reached under. Oh yes, a magnetic holder. Their subject had just executed a dead drop. On hearing it, Provalov experienced the thrill of seeing a crime committed before his very eyes. Now they had their man committing a crime against the state. Now they could arrest him at any time. But they wouldn't, of course. The operations commander next to him ordered Yefremov to retrieve the container for examination. That would be done very speedily, because the container would have to be returned. They only had half of the spy team. The other half would come to pick it up. It was the computer. On turning it on, they found a maze of folders, but one of them, they quickly saw, had encrypted contents. They lacked the proper disks to copy the covert file. That they could fix, and they could also copy the encryption program. Next, they'd have to plant a bugging device on the keyboard. In that way, they could use Suvorov's own password code to crack the encrypted file. The subject parked the German sedan and jumped out, took just enough time to affix a strip of paper taped to a lamppost, and hopped back into his car. He'd just posted a notice to someone that the dead drop had something in it. That someone would walk or drive past and see the tape and know where to go. So they had to examine the capsule quickly and replace it, lest they warn the enemy spy that their little operation had been compromised. Barry Wise, a handsome black ex-marine, knocked on the door in Beijing. The first Westerner he met was clearly not a cardinal. Too young, too tall, and far too German. Hello, I am Monsignor Shepka, the man greeted him. Good day, I am Barry Wise of CNN. Yes, I have seen you many times on the television. What brings you here? My crew and I are here to cover the trade meeting between America and China, but we decided to look for other items of interest. We were surprised to see that the Vatican has a diplomatic mission here. I've been here for several months, but the Cardinal just arrived recently. Can I meet him? Certainly. Wise followed the German priest in. The man he saw was corpulent and clearly Italian. Welcome to our legation, Cardinal de Milo said. You are our first American reporter. Please. The Cardinal gestured him to a chair. Thank you, Your Eminence. How may we serve you this day? Well, we just learned that the Vatican has an embassy here, and we thought we might come over to talk to you, sir. Marvelous. There are a few Christians in Beijing, though this is not exactly Rome. Wise felt a light bulb go off. What about Chinese Christians? We've only met a few. We're going over to see one this afternoon, as a matter of fact. A Baptist minister named Yu. Really? A local Baptist? Yes, Shepka confirmed. Good chap. He was even educated in America at Oral Roberts University. A Chinese citizen from Oral Roberts? Wise asked somewhat incredulously as the story light flashed in his head. Yes, it is somewhat unusual, isn't it? It was unusual enough that a Baptist and a cardinal of the Roman Catholic Church were on speaking terms, Wise thought. Atlanta would sure as hell like this one. Could we go over with you? The terror began soon after arriving at her workplace. She'd hoped that it would begin on a weekend in their apartment, where she and Con could handle things, but babies came at their own time. Yang Lianhua looked around the factory floor, feeling her muscles announce what was to come, and all she could hope was that it would stop or delay itself. Another 5 hours and she could pedal her bicycle home. The two Catholic churchmen walked to Yu's door carrying a large package. Ah, Yu observed on opening the door. What brings you over? My friend, we have a gift for you, His Eminence replied, holding up the package. Yu waved them in, then saw the Americans. They asked if they could join us, Monsignor Shepka explained. Certainly, Yu said, wondering if maybe Jerry Patterson might see the story, and even his distant friend Hosiah Jackson. Yu had expected a Bible, but this one must have cost hundreds of American dollars. It was an edition of the King James Version in beautifully literate Mandarin. Yu walked around the desk to embrace his Italian colleague. May the Lord Jesus bless you for this, Renato. Barry Wise cursed that he hadn't quite gotten his camera running for that moment.